Hello, hello, shalom, and welcome. It is Matzah Shabbat, Saturday evening, November 11th, 2006. Been a couple weeks since we did our last podcast, so it's good to get back. We have a lot of topics to discuss, things to talk about, and let's get to it. This was Shabbos Vayera. And the Shabbos Baltimore was very nice. The weather this Shabbos was fantastic. Davening went well. The meals went well. Heard very interesting Dvar Torahs from Rabbi Gottlieb, Rabbi David Gottlieb, who's the Rav of Shomer Emuna. And heard some interesting Dvar Torahs. Let's first get to some business. Well, before we get to the business, Kapitel Tehillim for Cholim. Shermalas Esainai El Heharim Me'ayin Evo Ezri Ezri Me'im Madanai Osei Shemai Veretz Aitein Lamod Roglecha V'ayinam Shemrecha Hinei Lo'yinam V'loyishan Shemai Yisrael Adonai Shemrecha Adonai Socha Ayad Minecha Yam Shem Shlakeka V'erach Balela Adonai Yishmacha Mikra Yishmar Esna Shecha Adonai Yishmar Tzeischa V'echa Meta V'yad Olam. Okay, current events. I'll talk about the rally, the almost gay pride parade in Yerushalayim, which turned into the gay pride rally. We'll talk about that. First, want to talk about another, not really rally, but something a little bit, more normal, more mainstream. My brother David and cousin Joel just came back, just completed a bike tour. To raise money for a hospital in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And David's been training for months. And besides training, there's also a fundraising aspect. Although the race ended over a week ago, week and a half ago, I finally got a chance to speak to David. So, without further ado, David Axelrod. Okay, welcome. We're here with David Axelrod. Say hello, David.
Hi, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
And David is back for a second appearance on the podcast. This time he's back. First time. Actually, maybe we should call this segment David's Travels. What do you say to that? Just thought of that right now. First time was Chevron Yom Kippur, and this time the entire Negev. Do you want to tell the listening audience what you've been through last week?
Sure. There's a for the past 7 years, there's been a hospital called Alin, which is in Yerushalayim. It's the only pediatric rehabilitation hospital for intensive care and, I guess rehabilitation. And actually, and they started, let me rephrase that. There was a group. Let me go back, retrace my steps a little bit. There was, years ago, there was a group called the Norwood Group from England, and they used to ride through Israel on these charity runs. The year 2000, it was when the Intifada started, they kind of canceled the run because of security reasons.
Okay.
But out of this group of people from England, nine of them undertook the challenge of running through Israel. And that year, the beneficiary of this charity run was a hospital called Beit Cholim Alin, which is in Yerushalayim. Like I said, it's a pediatric rehabilitation hospital.
Where in Yerushalayim is it, by the way? Particularly.
Excuse me?
Where exactly in Yerushalayim is the Alin Hospital?
The Alin Hospital is in Kiryat Yovel, which is right near Yad Vashem. It's like on the opposite hill. If you ever visited Yad Vashem in Yerushalayim near Har Herzl, it's just across, and it's not a large hospital, but it's in that vicinity, that neighborhood, Kiryat Yovel.
Uh-huh. Any reason why they picked the hospital, this one, or is there any connection 7 years ago.
I don't know why they picked this hospital, but this hospital, because of what they do, they certainly have a shortfall in whatever their rehabilitation programs and intensive care programs. So I guess these nine courageous people, what they started was one unbelievable charity function benefit. And every year since the year 2000, this past year, last week was the seventh run, it's kind of like snowballed into this monstrosity. You have hundreds of people going on this ride. Every year they change, you know, like just so that the ride doesn't get stagnant. Like one year they'll go, let's say last year they went from the Golan Heights down to Yerushalayim. 2 years ago they went from Mitzpeh Ramon up to Yerushalayim. And this year they decided that they were going to do their ride for this year was going to be from Yerushalayim to Eilat.
Well, how many, you said hundreds, how many, like you said, nine from 7 years ago, like what did it get up to this year? Was it 300, you say a couple hundred, 200, 300, like what approximately?
Okay, well, the first year was, I think, I'm sorry if the numbers aren't accurate, but the first year was nine, and then the second year, I think they grew to about 50, and then 100 and somewhat. The last year, they had 325 riders. This year they had 404 riders, and they also added, for people who couldn't join them for the full 5 days, they added a one-day ride, which was added on another 100 people. So in total, you had 404 people riding for the 5 days, and then an additional 100 people who rode the first day from Yerushalayim down to the Yam HaMelech.
Now, how much was people supposed to? Was it a mandatory fee to get in, or is it a certain amount, or approximately? Like, what was the entrance fee, or?
Okay, to offset the cost of the mechanics and the lodging and the support group, you know, the people riding in the vehicles and the ambulance that rode, the registration fee was $330, but you have to bring in a sponsorship of a minimum of $2,000.
Of how much?
$2,000 per rider.
Okay.
And last year, Baruch Hashem, the 325 riders brought in $1.9 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And what was this
year? Uh-huh. Okay, this year they announced at the end of the ride they had already received $1.7 million, and their goal for this year, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, would be $2.5 million.
Wow, my goodness, that's something.
Yes.
And this is money that until 7 years ago, I mean, people never heard of this place. I mean, I never heard of this place until you mentioned it. So like. Until 7 years ago, there probably was, you know, no fundraising, very little fundraising, and now there's $1.7 or $2 million coming in just for the rides. So that must be a huge deal for the hospital.
Yes, it certainly has put the hospital on the map. Actually, they announced that the first year, actually, those first nine founding riders raised $65,000. That first year, nine riders, and there wasn't a support group, and there was no mechanics. These were nine guys that decided that they were going to continue this bike ride, and during the time of 2000, with the Intifada and the security concerns, they certainly were strong enough to spearhead and start this incredible benefit, which is worldwide. And the hospital also is very happy about, and they have a lot of pride, is that the riders come from all over the world. Every year they add on different riders Just to name a few off the top of my head, well, obviously you have Israelis, you have Americans, you have Canadians, there was people from France, Brazil, Argentina, you had people from Spain, Italy.
Is it true the people, the riders from France had training wheels on their bicycles? I heard about that.
No, we
Oh,
just,
okay. Oh, sorry. Okay.
actually, in the middle of the night, we like stole their tires.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad. Well, that's something. Let me ask you a question. What I understand, someone told me that you got hurt at some point, you were injured at some point.
No, not at all.
And nothing was bothering you? Something, when you were riding, something was bothering you? No pain anywhere?
Oh, yeah. You know, when you sit on the saddle for 8 hours a day for 5 days, yeah. Find me
Yessi.
somebody that's not hurting.
Exactly. Yeah, brother Yessi told me to ask you about that, so.
Yeah, exactly. It was an incredible ride, I have
I'm
to
sure.
tell you.
What's it like down there? I mean, usually people don't even, either they fly over the Negev or drive through it as fast as they can to get to Eilat or to get to Yerushalayim. So, what's it like, really seeing, rock by rock?
Okay, just to give you a more defined answer, there were three rides. There were three routes this year. Years past, they started with on-road cycling, and as the numbers grew, they realized that there was a need that there are riders that wanted to go off-road mountain biking. So they added a second group, a second route, totally independent from the on-road, which was. The mountain biking was one group, and the cycling was a second group. Because of the numbers, and also because of the wide range of skill and fitness that these people were riding in, they decided to add a third route, and this was called the challenge. These are guys. It was a small group, and they had sold this route challenge for people that are excellent riders, riding between 80 to 100 miles a day, few stops, and just breakneck speed. This way, what happens is that people in the beginner riders, so to speak, who have only been on the bike for a couple of months, don't have to keep the experts waiting because when they do go on road, they and certainly in populated areas, they have police escorts. They try to close down the road,
Wow.
so to keep everybody like from getting too spread apart, they added this third ride, which is called the challenge. You had about 70 riders in the challenge, about 180 on road cyclists, and then about 160, so to speak, more or less. Mountain biking. I was on the mountain biking route.
How many people on unicycles, by the way?
No unicycles, but I will tell you a three amazing story. It was three tandem bikes. That's a bicycle with two seats. And the people in the back of each one were disabled. They were all blind people. And one guy even was blind without an arm. And the fellow in the front, wonderful people, they had a ride with, they rode with these people through the desert, and it was very inspiring. And there was actually one Israeli, from what I heard, an ex-chayal who lost his arm during his service. He actually rode himself on a mountain bike with everybody, with all of us. And he was an incredible rider. And he
Wow.
rode with one arm. He didn't have a prosthetic arm. He balanced himself with one hand and one arm. So for
Wow, that's
us to
incredible.
complain about to get tired or I can't go on any further, and then you look and you find inspiration in these people. It really made the ride, besides the fundraising part and what we're doing it for the children of Aline, just to see how these people ride with such handicaps gave us the drive and the push to to keep going.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. Wow. That's something, all right. Wow.
And the terrain was wild. It really was. The reason why a lot of Israelis picked this mountain biking route, besides we love the sport of mountain biking, is because you get to see the country where you can't see it from riding on an Egged bus or driving down to Eilat. This was, I would say, 70% of the ride going down was in the Shetach, which was in the Shetach is a, I guess, the wilderness in the plains, in the deserts, in the dry riverbeds, between the mountain ranges. It really was beautiful. We have lots of pictures. I'm going to send you pictures.
What's the website? In case people want to see pictures, or maybe they want to donate money to Alan, what's the is there a website or a contact information that we can give out?
Sure. The website for Alin Hospital is www.alin.org. That's ALYN.org. And all the pictures are there. There's literally hundreds, I'd say about 1,000, 2,000 pictures.
Yeah, I think there's definitely
on their
more than
site right now. And if they like to donate, I'm certainly looking for sponsors. My ID number is 308, and you'll see it on one of the links, you know, to sponsor a rider. I certainly appreciate it. Anybody out there who would love to donate to this wonderful cause. It certainly was an incredible experience meeting the people, the different riders from here in Eretz Yisrael, from the States, from Canada, everybody with different backgrounds and different stories, and what inspired them to come on this ride, and how it wasn't a race. Everybody rode their pace, and everybody got along beautifully.
And if people donate money, if people from the States donate money, when they come to Israel, you're going to take them on a bicycle tour in Beit Shemesh?
Oh, yeah. Anybody wants to go mountain biking? I got a neighbor's bike, Simon Baum's bike. Simon, thank you very much. I won't even charge you storage for the bike.
That's nice of you,
though. Sitting in my basement. Nice bike. It's brand new.
It's practically not,
brand new.
Not used.
About a year old.
Yeah.
Not used.
Yes, used like twice.
Yeah. So we're going to ask Simon if we could use the bike. And anybody that wants to come out and get a look, a view of Eretz Yisrael, where you really can't see it from the car, or you're driving so fast down the road, you just can't see it, I'll be more than happy to take anybody on a nice, easy trail. A little bump here and there, a little climb on the dirt. Maybe if you want to come out in the wintertime, we'll ride through some puddles. You know, we'll get a little mud on the bikes. You know, that's what it's all about, getting some mud on the dirt, you know, tires.
All right, David, we'll wrap things up here. It's nice speaking to you. Thanks for talking to us here.
Thank you very much. You know, Yudi, I think that next year, hopefully, if you're over here, you can come to the ride. Definitely.
Yeah, sounds a lot of fun. Looks a lot of fun. And it's good to see that you're involved in a lot of tzedakas. You know, very proud of you, involved in different tzedakas, and you should keep up the good work. You should be strong and healthy, and you should always be looking for new places to donate your time and your sweat, tears, and money. And I'll see you next week, God willing.
Thank you very much, Judy. Thank you very much for having me on the program again. And now we're going to I have to go back to the drawing board and figure out another adventure.
Sounds good.
Podcast.
I think Hadassah has. I think Hadassah Hospital has a parachute or parajumping. Heard about that one?
No.
Oh, I'm
gonna go.
Kidding. Yeah. And then, I heard Sar Tzedek has alligator wrestling. That's for the winter time. That's gonna be popular. All right, dude. Have a good show. Have a good night.
Thank you, Yudi. All the best.
All right, bye.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay, that was David Axelrod. And this took place a few days ago. It took a few days for us to get our timing together. One afternoon I called and he was sleeping. The next day He called. I was jogging or running somewhere. Or something. I was something. Working out. Weights. Something. And the next night, he was busy, or whatever the case is. But we finally did get it together. 7-hour difference. I'm in Baltimore. He's in Eritrea. So 7 hours. Not so easy to get everything together. He's working. I'm working. But we finally did get together. And that was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Very proud of David. David's involved in Chayenu, helping children with cancer, a huge organization, Eretz Yisrael. So he had a parlor meeting last year. I put some pictures of that on my my blog. So David's involved in a lot of, stuck projects, programs, making his kugels for different shuls, different kiddushim. So David's keeping busy there. Good for David. Very proud of David. He's, not wasting his time, that's for sure. He's pretty busy over there. So that is the bike tour. Like we mentioned, if anyone wants to donate money towards the cause, you can either send me an email, jayaxe2 at yahoo.com, and I'll send you the information. I think Noach Gordon owes David some money. I think Noach pledged and didn't pay anything. I wonder if me shaming him right now on this podcast will have the money come quicker, or maybe not come at all. So we'll see what comes of that. See if Noach Gordon actually pays up. Cheapskate. Okay. Next issue I want to talk about is the gay pride parade that turned into the rally. I have been in Baltimore the past 2 weeks, I think it is. So the news I've been hearing has not been from people, the word on the street, but they've been from news accounts, whether it's JPost.com, MSNBC, Drudge Report, AP, things like that. There's a few things I want to discuss. First of all, one obvious, one not so obvious unless you're living in Eretz Yisrael. The first is the fact that Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, is a holy city. Now, it's a democracy. Anyone could march, anyone could say what they want, where they want. But the fact, the problem is, on behalf of the gay community, according to a quote which I'm reading on MSNBC, for example, this woman, her name is Elena Canetti, says, "As a lesbian, as a woman, as a Jew, as simply as a human being, I have the right to live my life as a lesbian in Jerusalem, openly, in my city, close to my family, my friends, my neighbors, and my workmates. If we flee to another city, Tel Aviv, Amsterdam, or San Francisco, we shall find ourselves centimeter by centimeter giving way to bullies and violence." There's a big difference between living as a gay person in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, or New York, and going out and flaunting it by having parades and rallies. I currently work for women, gay. Another coworker of mine is gay. When I worked in Columbus, Ohio, my manager, gay fellow, guy taught me how to make balloons, another gay fellow. So that's one issue. We know one issue is living as a gay person. It's against the ideals of Torah. It's abomination. The Torah says quite openly, says it's an abomination. So that's another issue. But so living as a gay person, that's one issue. But to go marching in Yerushalayim, where you're more or less saying, you know what, my rights totally is above yours. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. Which most people do take offense. Okay, you're going against Yerushalayim is a huge, huge place, a lot of Haredim, religious, and you're really putting this in people's faces. So that's one issue that has to be tackled. So while it is a democracy, and you could say, do what you want, there has to be a little bit of seichel, a little bit of thought into where you're going. No one's saying that gay people cannot live in Yerushalayim. No one's saying gay people aren't allowed to work there. They can't work. They can't go to the clinics. So that's not even the point. The point is that parading is something that's totally against most of the population in Yerushalayim. That's the first issue. On the other side, So that's something that perhaps, not perhaps, that's something that the gay community should have made the parade somewhere else. A second issue, which hasn't been talked about, well, different articles mention it, the fact that the police wanted to stop the parade. They didn't actually get to do it. They didn't win the petition in the Supreme Court to have it done. But the reason that they wanted to stop it is because of the violence that was going to supposedly occur, on behalf of the Haredim, the religious right. This is something that, well, some of you say, you know what, that's great, you have to use force to get rid of the, you know, these gay people, blah, blah, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, once you have carte blanche to say, you know what, this can't happen because we're afraid the Haredim will do violence about this, or we can't do this because we're afraid the Haredim to do this, you're turning Israel into Iran. You're opening this up to fanaticism. In Iran, a woman walks down the street in pants or shorts, whatever. I mean, literally, they go out and they cut her head off. Okay? This is, you know, it's conceivable that this is the next leap after this. You know what? You can you protest, fine. You petition, fine. Try as best as you can to get this parade from happening in Yerushalayim, that's fine. But to go start burning garbage cans, and last year when this happened, three people were stabbed. It sends the wrong message that the police and Israel is going to bow to pressure. I live in Rav Beit Shemesh, and there are signs that are going up in the Merkaz telling people to dress modest, to dress tznius. Okay, on the surface, that's great. Shouldn't we all do that? But, again, it's a free country. Why pressure other people? I mean, it's a free country, and you want to suggest, you know what, this is a religious place, there's religious Haredim, right-wing people, please dress a little bit more modest. That's fine. But to have boxes of, you know, clothes, and if a woman's not dressed properly, not let her into the store, or force her to wear clothes. I mean, this is against the law. And you're letting private groups dictate the law. Go to Meish Arm. There's signs that say, please respect, dress modestly, please respect the wishes of the neighbors. The last time I checked, Geula, Meish Arm, is public. Tel Aviv is public. Beit Shemesh is public. Theoretically, anyone can walk down any street in Israel, unless it's a private street. If there's a street that's a private street, for example, I live on a street in Ramat Beit Shemesh where it's a private street. Theoretically, we could put up a gate, Sun Gardens, we could put up a fence, and not let certain people come in. We pay extra tax, property taxes, we pay the electricity, we pay our own street lights, we pay our own water. Theoretically, we have a private street. I do not think any place in Meir Shearim or Geula, there's a private street. Once you're saying, you know what, you cannot walk down our street, and if you walk down, not modestly, we will stone you. I understand, again, most people who listen to this podcast are Orthodox, and while women don't wear pants, but it's just, something just rubs me the wrong way when you're allowing people to take the law into their own hands and stone people for doing something not against the law. People throwing garbage in the street, sure, try to get rid of them. People committing crime, yep, try to stop them. People walking down the street in pants or gay people marching in Yerushalayim is not against the law. It's a democracy. So while I am not for gay people to march in the holy city of Yerushalayim, to threaten and to have people, leaders, say, if there's a march, we're going to stab and kill these people, that's uncalled for. So that's my two cents on this. Hopefully, with more people, North Americans, people making aliyah, we'll try to, you know, influence the government that way. I mean, fanaticism is wrong, whether it's left, whether it's right-wing, it's just wrong, because then you're just opening up the gate to to more violence and more problems and actually divisiveness between different groups. There was a study that came out recently that the Haredim are the most, quote-unquote, hated or disliked group of all the groups in Israel amongst Israelis. And you know what? That's a part of Israeli life, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, intolerance and threatening violence is not the way to solve anything. It's actually interesting, not surprising, interesting, that it was the gay community that compromised. You know what? The parade's too much. Let's just have a rally, 4,000 people, that a small rally closed off in a soccer stadium, I think it was. And that was it. It wasn't the Haredim that said, you know what, we'll compromise, we're not going to have any trouble, no protests, we'll compromise that way. It was the gay community that actually compromised and changed the, what's the word I'm looking for, that changed the venue. So instead of a parade, it was just a simple march. Well, that kind of wraps things up. It's good to speak to you again. It's over a half hour already, so Dove's interview went pretty long. A couple shout-outs. My brother David. I think Rabbi Joe said he listened. I think he said that. A few other people listened to it. Actually, Avrami Lichtshain, who said I should get rid of the gay music. Interesting. I actually think he was in Yerushalayim a couple days before the parade. I wonder what happened there. He went to the Eretz Yisrael with David Schoenfeld. I wonder if they went. I know they went before the parade, the rally, but I think once they changed the venue, I think they came back to America. So I don't think they stayed for it. So try to get more information about what they did actually in Israel for the next podcast, but. That's kind of it. Hopefully we'll speak soon. And have a very good evening. Have a Shavua Tov. Be well. Bye.